All right, you guys ready to go? Mm-hmm. All right. You're listening to the Sportsman's Nation podcast network brought to you by Interstate Batteries. Go check out Interstate Batteries because they're awesome, right?
Right.
You've had good experience with Interstate Batteries before, right, Ryan?
Yeah, I have. As a matter of fact, whenever my factory ones go out in my power stroke, that's what's going back in.
Boom. There you go. Interstate Batteries. Check them out. You know, you got to pay the bills.
That's right.
All right. So we're here in Louisville, Kentucky in our hotel room after the first day of the Archery Trade Association show. And first question. Okay, first off, we're sitting here with Ryan Iberg. He's pretty much like my right-hand man, right?
Yep.
You hang out with me a lot. We're friends.
That's right.
Right? And we have Rook, the rookie.
The rookie.
The rookie to yep. the ATA show, Garrett Prawl from DIY Sportsman. He's on the Sportsman's Nation. First question goes to you, Garrett. What do you think of the ATA show, this is your first time?
Yeah, so I mean, size-wise, I'd say it was probably about what I was expecting, maybe a little bit bigger.
Yeah.
What I think I like about it compared to just like a standard sportsman type show is that there's less people walking around. Yeah. So you actually feel like you can get a little bit more one-on-one time with all the booths.
Focus a little bit more on the products and what they're selling.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. So other than that, I mean, and we're going to get into the products that we kind of thought stood out today, but anything else about being your first time? I mean, like, were you anticipating it being something different than it was, or did you have a pretty good idea just from talking to other people?
No, I think I had a decent idea just from all the YouTube video coverage that I've seen in the past.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So we're jumping right into this, and the task, I was in a lot of meetings today and I didn't have time to go look at all the booths like I would have liked to. So I said, Ryan, Garrett, why don't you guys walk around the show and find something that's worth talking about that's awesome? And I don't mean like, hey, check out the new color paint job on this bow from this big company. Like, ooh, that's not innovative, right? No. All right, so I think what I'll do is, Ryan, I'll start with you. What name the first product that stood out to you at the ATA show 2019? Here we go. What is it?
Well, I think it was probably the Peep.
The Peep site.
The Peep site.
Okay.
Yeah. And I'm a little embarrassed. I don't even remember the name of it.
Total Peep.
Total Peep.
Total Peep.
Yep.
Yeah, Total Peep. That thing was awesome.
And what did this product do?
So, you know, whenever you draw your bow back, typically you will have some degree of rotation of your Peep.
Yep.
I mean, unless you have like that little...
tube.
Yeah, the tube, you know. Yeah. And, you know, that breaks and whatever and wears out.
Yep.
Well, they have designed a peep with an aperture large enough, like basically a cone on either side, that allows for 20 degrees of rotation in any direction and still maintain center.
Yeah.
You know, without like getting that oblong look or cutting off part of your sight or anything like
right.
that.
Right. And I tell you what, when you guys were over there and I kind of showed up late to that booth and looked at it, the first thing I thought of was, how many times do I, before I practice in my backyard, do I twist that peep just a little bit?
Or, yep.
It's or, habit.
Yeah. All the time. Yeah. I do it. So, and then even when I get to the tree stand, I draw back, let go, you know, twist the peep to make sure it's lined up so that when the deer does come by eventually, then, you know, I'll shoot it. You also... we're at that booth, Garrett. Yep. You did a video on it. So, and by the way, Garrett's putting out some videos on the DIY Sportsman YouTube channel. So make sure all you guys listening go check that out too. But what were your thoughts on the Total Peep?
So I thought it was pretty interesting. I mean, when I first saw the pictures of it, I wasn't exactly sure what it was or what made it so unique. But once the guy started explaining it, I was like, oh yeah.
Yeah.
I have that problem.
Yeah. And I'll tell you what's cool about it. It's so simple. Right, it's so simple, and at the same time, it's very functional. And I feel that at a show like this, man, they have to fight to get get noticed at this show because so many bigger brands and bigger companies have just oodles of people coming to them. A lot of the time, that a company like this completely gets looked over.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah.
Because they were here last year, or they were at Indy last year.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Absolutely. Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah, and we didn't notice them.
No, yeah. No, we didn't.
The other thing about the site that's cool is it has an uneven finish to it, so you don't get a lot of light reflection.
Oh, yeah.
That was the other cool thing about it.
Yeah. I instantly saw something with that peep that I definitely put that on my bow. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Especially, like, I don't have the greatest form. Mm-hmm. So any little twist or 20 degrees rotation here and there, man, that would, I wonder, do you think, Garrett, do you think that would, even with the rotation and keeping it full circle, would, I guess, hinder the shot, the accuracy, so to speak?
No, I think it's better the way they have it set up. If you're going to have peep twist, it'd be better to have it with that type of system than a traditional peep.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, a normal peep, you're lining it with your housing, but then as soon as your string rotates a little bit, you're starting to see the sidewalls of the peep sight, and yeah, it's affecting what your brain actually thinks is the round aperture that you're trying to line up with your sight.
Yeah.
So with that, where the aperture actually is, it's just a really thin wall, and you're not seeing the walls of the peep.
Yeah. Yeah, that's cool, man. Definitely something, if, I don't know, the reason we're podcasting about it and talking about it right now is because it's something that we think everybody should go check out. So Total Peep, I think it's just totalpeep.com, right?
Yeah, and something else that's worth mentioning about it is that it looks super heavy.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at it, like, that thing has to weigh a ton.
Yeah.
It's a polymer.
So it's real light.
It's super light. The biggest one they had,
I think their quarter inch one was like 18 grains.
18 grains.
Which is fairly heavy. I mean, most peeps, I think, are like in the 10 to 12.
Yeah.
But their smaller peeps were very comparable or even lighter, I think. Yeah.
So the normal peep that a guy would put on his string, do you happen to know what something like that? You said 12
grains? I think they're like 9 to 12 grain range, I believe.
Same opening size?
Yeah. 1/8 and
yeah, so
3/16.
From 1/8 up through like a quarter is like the most common sizes.
Okay, cool. Yeah, and I don't know. I thought that was cool. Anything else about Total Peep that you guys thought stood out?
Yeah, there are other little side products. I thought the handheld release holder was a unique idea, especially for spot and stock.
Explain what that is.
So they have a little rubber grabber piece. The best way I can maybe explain it is if anybody has a drop away rest on their bow and they put a little rubber sticker in front of that rest to be able to hold their arrow in place and it kind of pops up out of the way.
Yep.
Right, so that type of system, but they put that little rubber bracket or holder on the handheld release itself. So when normally you'd hook a handheld release on your string, you latch it down, you let go of the release, and then the thing's just free to flop around.
Mm-hmm.
Right, but if you attach this little rubber grabber onto the handle of the release, you can just turn it down and hook it onto the string, or just snap it onto the string, essentially. Doesn't make any noise because it's a nice soft rubber, but then it basically holds that handheld release tight against the string and prevents it from sort of rattling around.
Yeah. Yeah. I saw that. That was pretty cool. I'm a wrist at this time. I'm a wrist release guy. Mm-hmm. What do you shoot?
I shoot a wrist mostly, but I use a lot of handhelds for practicing in the summer.
Yeah.
And at some point I might move to a thumb for hunting too.
Yeah. Yeah, I've always wanted to do it, but for some reason I just keep going back to a wrist release every year. But yeah, and the way, you know, when he was shaking that bow, that release was there and it wasn't moving at all.
Uh-uh.
And all he did was unclip it, and then now he's instantly into the draw of the bow.
Yeah.
So they also had a couple other products that company did. The hip quiver.
Hip quiver.
Yeah. So it was essentially a bracket that allows you to use any quiver as a hip quiver. It hooks onto your belt, and then you can adjust the angle. So as he was explaining it, most of the time with hip quiver, one of the issues is it sits a little bit lower on your thigh, or maybe even has a strap that goes around your thigh. So when you walk, your thigh is going back and forth, and your arrows are acting like a flag waving back and forth up by your side. But this quiver holds the arrows up higher and tight to your body so they don't wave around as much. And then if you are, you know, either walking or crawling on the ground, you can adjust the angle so that those arrows aren't digging into the ground.
And the way he had it, the arrows would go back up behind your shoulder, right?
Mm-hmm, correct. Yep.
Do you think for a spot and stock that would be out of the way enough as opposed to on your bow?
you can change the angle of where the orientation of it with that mounting.
So the first thing I thought of when he's doing this is our elk hunt.
Right.
And how much movement we were actually doing and how much shit we had to walk through on every 10 feet, right? We were climbing over a tree. Do you think that that application would work in that scenario?
I don't know. I'd be a skeptic for that particular situation.
Yeah.
I think like plains hunting, you know, or something like that, maybe that might work better. Some open woods, but I don't know. There's too much up and down. I think you're bound to lose something.
Yeah. Yeah. Would you consider using a product like that ever?
I don't know that I would. I'm not much of a hip quiver guy, but I know Bobby Boswell is really interested in it.
Yeah. So he likes to have stuff around his waist. How do I ask that question? I've always liked to be free, like moving around the hips and knees and legs and stuff like that, and not like.
Well, I think part of it too is just having less stuff on your bow.
Yeah.
Right. If you don't have a quiver on your bow at all, not only is it a little bit easier to maneuver your bow itself around, but you got a lot less wind resistance if you are on a plains hunt or something like that, a lot less wind drag to grab on. And then it's just lighter overall, lighter package, so it might be a little bit easier to balance. Yeah. If you're the type of guy that wants to practice on in the off season without a quiver on, you just got your arrow sitting in like a tube or something, then that's what you're used to. And then you go and strap a normal quiver on your bow, and you're all of a sudden adjusting the balance and the weight that you're used to.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. All right. Anything else from that company? I don't think so.
No. They had a stick on rubber grabber, I think, for the arrow rest in front of the arrow rest just to hold the arrow in place. But I've seen stuff like that before.
Yeah, nothing too crazy there. All right, Garrett, what's the next one?
I think the big one for me, if anybody, was the Lone Wolf custom gear.
Yeah.
And not just for the stand and the sticks, but they had a couple other products that were unique. I think number one, that arrow system that they had. And I mean, we'll talk about this with the other guys also, but the way that they explained how it could sort of keep a lung collapsed in a non-pass-through hit was very intriguing.
Yeah. Yeah. And how that would drain the blood out of the back end of the arrow as well. So it's a two-part system that goes on this arrow, right? And so they created it. From my understanding, they created it for helping to drain blood, right?
Yep.
But what I guess it did on a completely accidental scale, listening to Cody talk, and like I said, for everybody who's listening to this, me and Garrett are going to do another podcast with Cody, and he's going to run through all the products, but it actually created some kind of vortex inside of the arrow with air movement, and it made the arrow faster.
Yeah, so basically, since the insert system that they have, or the component system, it's got a front component and it's got a back component.
Yeah.
Each one has holes in it, so it allows air or blood or whatever to go in to the shaft right behind the broadhead and then exit at the back end of the arrow.
Yeah.
So the intent was for blood, but then they found out that with air would be allowed to go inside that shaft as well and exit out the back. So it's like normally when you shoot an arrow, you got, you know, whatever your diameter of your shaft is, that's your profile. It's flying through the air, and that's your drag is coming from that.
Yeah.
But it's basically reducing that profile, that drag profile, because it allows air to go through the center of the shaft just like it goes through the outside of the shaft. So your overall profile that your drag is based on should be less, according to what they were saying.
Man. And they were saying that wasn't intended at all. That just happened accidentally, right? So, and that's pretty cool. Now, obviously, let's talk a little bit about what Lone Wolf. You know, you said there's a tree stand.
Yep.
Did you dig into the trail camera at all?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the trail camera, it is, I think right now, just a standard trail camera, but it's made to be cell capable.
Yeah.
So they're probably going to have that at some point, if not right away. And it's not just a camera, it's also a mounting system. So the mounting system, you put the bracket on the tree, it can be either screwed on or used with a strap. And then whatever angle that happens to be at, you can adjust it on kind of like a ball and socket system to point that camera wherever you want to point.
Awesome.
He was saying that there's an app that goes with it that you can look at where the camera's pointing, and there's a zoom function within it. I don't know if it's a digital or if it's a more like optical zoom, but he was basically saying you can stick the camera up in the tree wherever you want it to be, you can back off from where you want the pictures to be taken, and you don't have to be right up on top of it. You can back off, apply the zoom, and then use the app to make sure it's pointed exactly where it needs to be pointed, and then you can be less intrusive when you go to check your cameras.
I would think that would need to be a pretty big zoom on that in order to, like, not check your trail cameras. Like, to, like, if you were gonna play around with the positioning of the trail camera, the zoom would have to be pretty big to make it less intrusive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, if it allows you to set up your camera, say 30 yards off a trail versus, you know, 15 feet off the trail.
Yeah, that makes a good point.
I would just worry about, like, pixelation, you know, with a digital zoom.
If it's digital.
Being able to identify what walked through. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because if it's an optical zoom, I mean, that's more movement, more parts in there. It's probably drive up the cost. I would say it's going to be digital, but I guess we'll find out.
If they got enough megapixels on the sensor, even if they're doing, like, a sensor crop or something, maybe they start off with 12 megapixels, apply the zoom or the crop or whatever, now they're shooting at 3, that might still be good enough for what you're trying to get.
Yeah, makes sense.
The other cool thing was it's like a rubber boot on the trail cam body itself. So in case it, you know, after having it for out in the sun and whatnot in the weather, or if a squirrel comes along and, you know, gets on it, you can change that boot. You can also change the color if it doesn't match the tree. I mean.
Yeah. Okay, so stand, trail camera, arrows, sticks. You've done a lot of videos about climbing methods. What did you think of these sticks?
I liked the portability of them. Yeah. I liked the way that they're put together, and they did a really good job at making them work well with the rest of the system.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, for me, climbing sticks, I'm a double step guy. I like double steps on all my climbing sticks for how easily I'm able to get into a tree. But the way that those things stack with their single step design is really nice.
Yeah. So break it down real quick. I mean, just at a high level, how this all plays in together, because the sticks and the stands are almost like they fit together like Legos, mm-hmm. right? So break that down for us real quick.
Yeah. So there's like a, basically like a pin and hole system that not only the sticks can stack together with, but also they can stack on the stand. The sticks themselves are intended to be stacked side by side instead of one on top of the other, like sticks are normally done.
Right.
So because they're using rotating V brackets and because they're using single steps, they can basically fold everything up so that it maintains like a 3/4 inch profile.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can stack those things side by side, lay them onto the stand, and they're really not taking up a whole bunch of profile. And because the components on the stand are made for the same type of spacing, right, there's just, you can fit them nice and tight. And they have the mini sticks, they have the longer length sticks. You can stack them interchangeably, meaning you could have like a couple long sticks, a couple short sticks, and still be able to utilize that function.
Yeah. Based off of the first impression, not even playing around with it yet, right? Mm-hmm. There's some additional functionality that we'll cover with Cody, but do you see this as a system that you would use? I mean, you're a harness guy now. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're a saddle guy now. But do you see this system being so good that it makes people go, "Oh my God, I gotta have it"?
I'd say for the stand, it's definitely up there. Sticks, there's just so many options for sticks. I think a lot of it comes down to personal preference.
Yeah.
If you want the best packability in the system, then their system makes sense.
Yeah.
I think the stand, like you said, there's a lot of extra features that weren't necessarily obvious that once they start talking about them, it's like, oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
I think it had like a projected $500 price point.
Yeah.
That's probably something that I would pay to have a stand like that and just not use my old Lone Wolf anymore.
Yeah. 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 And the seat turned into a bench.
Yeah.
So you could carry pack meat out in it or put your pack on it or however. And Garrett's video will go, like, if you're listening to this, like I said, go check out Garrett's video. All right. So Lone Wolf obviously is another came out with some innovative stuff. What was the other one? What was the other one that we, I think you were filming over there or something. Maybe not.
For who? For Lone Wolf custom?
No, not for Lone Wolf, the next product that, let's see.
Peak Refill is one of the places I stopped by at.
Okay. So, yeah, might as well talk about that. What was...
Yeah, so Peak Refuel is one of the freeze-dried meal companies.
Yep.
It's kind of like Mountain House or Alpine Air or anything like that. But what they do differently than the other guys is they're still using the same kind of process, still freeze-dried, but there's a lot of kind of small things that you can do within that process that makes a big difference in the end quality.
Yeah.
So, like, when I tried their stuff back when I visited Bobby at Picks Him Up in Utah.
Yeah.
And I really liked it. You open up the bag, it looks like food inside.
Yeah.
It doesn't look like a freeze-dried meal. And what they were going to come out with was basically more flavors. So
yeah.
I think like 4 new meals and like 2 new breakfasts that they're going to come out with, which is almost doubling their options right now from what they did have. So they're a pretty new company, and I really like their stuff a lot. So I was pretty excited to see they're going to come out with more flavors.
Yeah. Yeah. What do you happen to know what some of these new flavors were?
No, he didn't tell me what the newest ones were. But for the ones they have now, they have like a breakfast scrambler. They have, like a beef dish, a pork dish, a chicken dish. There might be a vegetarian one or I can't remember, but there's also a dessert one.
Vegetarian.
Hey,
no shit.
Weird, but like for the Alpine Air stuff that I have tried in the past, the favorite tasting one, the one I like to eat the most, is actually like a Himalayan lentils and rice.
Really?
They have that one seasoned better than any of their other products.
I'll have to check that out.
Go sit over here.
Hey, don't unplug that.
You're supposed to use the vegetarian freeze-dried meals and then top it off with some fresh-killed meat.
Oh,
there you go.
Yeah.
Was that a burn? Was that a burn on you? Did Rook burn you?
Roy.
Let's see. I'm going to take the next one here. There's a company called Rack Hub. Did you guys see that?
I think I did.
It's so it is a system. It's very low profile. You can put it on your wall, and you can drill into the base of your shed antler that you found or you know any antler really, and then you can put an insert in there, and that insert then can go. Matches up. There's a male and female end. The male end is on the bracket that goes into the wall, and the female end has been put into the shed antler, right? Mm-hmm. So now let's say you have a really good shed antler that you found. You can find a way to display it on your wall, but at the same time, take it off, handle it, and put it back, right? So I have a ton of shed antlers that I would love to display better than how I have them displayed now. Especially some of the big ones, right? Where they make a single and a like a match, so like for a match set, right? And it's really cool because the measurement in between the two, it's like a ball joint, right? And then on the ball joint is this ball joint rotates, and then you can tighten it up when you've got them in the perfect position. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So I don't know. That's something that. All the other antler display systems that I've seen in the past are pretty big, and I've never liked them until this one's really low profile.
Yeah, so that's cool.
Yeah,
I think I saw it over there. I think that was that one thing that I was messing with.
Yeah, we initially when we saw it sitting there, because there's nobody there to basically explain it.
Yeah,
we were thinking it was like a system to be able to display your antlers. Like you just cut them off the skull and display them. We're like, oh, this would be a really great way to make it look like the spread of your buck was about 2 inches bigger than
right. Yeah,
everything's flayed out. Yeah. So yeah, I talked with the guys there, pretty cool guys. And, that product's made in America as of right now. I don't know what their plans are in the future, but really cool. Rack Hub is the name of that company. I thought we had another innovative.
Out
on a limb. What did they do?
They had the over the head.
Okay. Yeah.
Like gimbal system
for filming.
For filming.
they've had that thing out in the past.
Yeah.
And I always thought it looked kind of cumbersome. I didn't realize though that the weight on that thing is like 2 pounds for the base, like 4 pounds for the articulating arms, and then like 1 pound for the bracket that goes onto your camera. I was anticipating that thing would be like 10 pounds plus.
Yeah.
So
that was interesting. What is your camera arm that you use weigh right now? Total.
Probably under 4 pounds, I think.
Under 4 pounds. So this wouldn't, like, for you, you like to cut weight and be as low profile. This isn't something that...
Probably not.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I could see how, like, for people who film for, like, a show or something, and they care more about the quality of their footage than maybe I do, it could be an interesting thing.
Yeah. Okay. One thing that was really cool about that was he also made a... that was there is did he when you were talking to him did he say he was going to start manufacturing that saddle platform
so
saddle hunters?
The way it sounded to me was that somebody from the saddle community asked him to make a custom saddle platform, gave him some thoughts, and then he went ahead and built up a prototype, which as soon as he posted a picture online just like spread like nuts within that community. So I don't know if he has plans to actually do something like that long term. It seemed like kind of a one-off thing that that got hyped up a lot, but he did. He was very open to kind of understanding what the needs are of the saddle users and kind of learn about that.
Yeah, let me ask you this: do you think you're better than everybody else because you hunt out of a saddle?
Yeah, that's kind of the point.
Oh, rookie!
The whole community thinks that, I'm sure.
it's like CrossFit of hunting.
I tell you what. I even got a message when I shot my buck this year, and this, just giving me shit. But he's like, "Yep, but you didn't shoot it out of a saddle. It'd be a lot cooler if you shot it out of a saddle, dude."
My saddle, my trad bow, and my moccasins. You know.
Oh, that's funny. Let's see here.
Oh, he had a stand also.
Oh, the stand, yeah.
Yeah,
stand.
Which was cool. I thought it was going to be heavy as hell. There again, pick it up. It's all aluminum. I think he said it was 7 pounds.
6.5 or 7 pounds.
Yeah, somewhere in that range. It's a lot smaller in profile as far as the platform and the seat. It was very comfortable, though. The guy has a great powder coating system. I mean, his powder coating was like flawless. That one had an enamel type coating on it.
Yeah.
But thing about it is, though, its price point's $179. I mean,
it's got a smaller platform than most stands do, but it made me think, how much of my stand do I actually use, and how much of my stand do I actually need? Right? I mean, if you're going in on some kind of run and gun, real deep, I don't know where you don't. Maybe it's just going to be, you're only going to be there for an hour or 2 hours. You know, maybe it's a late season hunt where you're just trying to catch this buck head to a food source, and you just something real tight and small. I can see something like that potentially working.
Yeah.
For
those of us that don't want to go saddle.
Yeah. For those. Yeah. Of course. Of course. So.
Yeah. It's like, there's two ways to go lightweight, right? You can either spend $500 on a machined like stand like the Lone Wolf one, or you can go smaller in platform size.
Yeah.
Like with that one.
Yeah. And it that was a two-part system too, right? You strapped the main part of the stand on, and then you put the seat on separately.
I think the seat went first.
The seat went first?
The seat went first.
Yeah. Oh, yep. Yeah. And then the bar and the platform go on second.
Yeah.
Kind of just like a clip.
Sit in there.
Gotcha. Cool. What else? Anything that kind of stood out? I know we're going to do this again tomorrow night.
Yeah.
But...
yeah. I know tomorrow I want to check out more trail camera companies.
Yeah.
I saw that Moultrie had a cell camera option for GLTE that I wasn't able to talk to anybody today about it, but it looked like it was going to MSRP like around $180.
Oh, yeah.
Which would be significantly cheaper than a lot of the cameras that are out there right now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we got obviously cell. I wonder how long it's going to take for a trail camera company. And it's got to be coming because they have it for residential use, right? To where I can log in to my trail camera and see what's going on there right now, right? Some kind of a connection system, mm-hmm. right? Where you have your app, you click on the app, open it up, click on, I don't know, view. It's basically a
video camera in the woods.
Video camera in the woods that's relayed back to your phone automatically. How long do you think that's going to be? Next year?
I think next year.
I think the big thing is just how much is the data plan going to cost for something like that?
Yeah. That's a big one. But I know some guys who would, I don't know if I would pay a lot of money for it, But I know a lot of guys who you know, hunt more food plot type settings, especially, I don't know, if it can have all the functionality of a current trail camera and then have the ability to do the basically security camera as well. I really think that would bite. And I know a lot of guys, especially who hunt food plots, and would definitely find interest in that.
Oh yeah.
Which kind of makes hunting not like, I don't know.
Like too far.
Yeah. I have a couple cell cameras, but I used those cell cameras to try to catch a thief this year.
Right.
Not necessarily, you know, for hunting purposes, but I, you know, that data is great, but like live feed, I think would just be too far. I don't know.
Right.
I don't know if I could get on board with that.
Well, yeah. Then when are you going to start putting like some sort of weapon on it? Yeah. Oh, I think I'll just shoot her right now. You know,
boom, done.
Yep.
Rotating.
Woo.
Well, got to drive. Yeah. You know, drive to Nebraska tonight to tag it.
Yeah. Hey, who says you can't hunt from your couch?
Yeah.
I'm going to show those assholes.
You just opened up Pandora's box, man. Man, that's crazy. I bet you that's where it goes, though. I mean, it could possibly go that far with technology.
Yeah.
Huh.
I mean, they got the technology on drones right now.
Yeah.
Obviously, the military does.
Yeah. Oh, here we go. Next step.
Get killing deer from your couch. I imagine there's guys doing it for hogs.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Got a FLIR thermal vision out there at night.
Yep.
Oh, cool. All right. So there's that one. Ryan, anything else?
Not right now.
Not right now?
Nope.
Anything else on your end?
Hunter's Blend Coffee, I heard, is working on. They have something in the works for an in-the-field type of coffee that would be really convenient once they come out with it.
So, like individual packets?
Or
how's that
work? So, like, kind of like an Instatized coffee, but better quality.
Yeah. Okay.
So
you just add hot water to it?
Right. And okay. It just dissolves in. So, like, for me, when I'm using coffee in the field, like, I got a little French press type system with with my cook kit.
That's what we used on
Elk. Yeah. It's just a pain. You got to do extra steps. You got to clean the thing out.
Dirty.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. Like, I don't drink coffee in the mornings. I always end my morning hunt. Then I have a couple cups of coffee because, you know, what coffee does.
Right? It takes you. Oh, yeah.
Have to sky dump.
Yep.
And I do sky dump.
Oh, yeah. You're a master of it.
Yep. Yep. Okay, so instant coffee. Anything else that you saw today?
One thing I didn't really see a lot of yet is something that I've been hoping is going to come out just in boot type technology for whitetails, is like the Cabela's lockdown system, where you got kind of a gator integrated into the boot that you can pull up and lock down, and it gives you the support of like a hiking boot, but then the waterproof of a rubber boot.
Yeah.
I've been hoping that some company comes out with something like that, but makes it in a hip boot version.
Yeah.
And I still haven't ever seen anything like that.
You mean for being able to pull it all the way up your leg?
Yeah. And I'm not talking even like a Dan's frog legs or something like that. Cause a lot, they have stuff like that, but they're usually always sewn onto or connected to rubber boots.
Yeah.
What I'd like to see is something more like what the Cabela's did with integrating a hiking boot, which is for me is going to be a lot more comfortable.
Yep.
And it's going to hang onto your foot a lot better.
Yeah.
Than most rubber boots. It'd be easier to take on and off because you can tighten it or loosen it up as opposed to just trying to kick it off with the other shoe.
Basically, and that would serve the purpose of crossing waterways to get to tree stand access.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Let's see. Anything that you're going to go check, anything you guys are going to go check out tomorrow?
I'm going to check out bows tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't get to do much of that.
So here's this. So the first bow that caught my eye walking into the show was Bear Archery, right? So the reason it caught my eye is because last year, or, you know, a couple years ago when I was working with Gearhead, right? Double risers. Right. Mm-hmm. Now you start to see a trend in the industry. People are starting to pull apart their risers, and so far no one's really done it all the way until Bear did it, but Bear's done it so it's split down to the grip and then it splits down again. Mm-hmm. Right. So that's it's kind of, I'm curious how all that works.
Yeah, I'll check it out tomorrow.
Yeah.
And I didn't see that.
Yeah, Gearhead has a new bow too.
Okay.
That looks different than what they've put out. I haven't shot it yet, but you know, maybe I should get you back on the bow shoot line again.
I don't know. I think we've beat that horse.
What about you, Garrett?
I might try some electric bikes tomorrow.
Yeah.
Ride them around a little bit.
Now, other than doing it for fun tomorrow, is this something that you would ever use?
I'm on the fence about it because a lot of the places that I would potentially be able to get really good use out of them, they're already outlawed.
Okay.
It's explicitly no electronic bikes.
Yeah.
But there's other places that I could still use it. So it's like, could I just use a normal bike? Yeah, probably. I always have to deal with issues like you're riding through weeds and stuff, your chain gets all screwed up. I end up doing a lot of maintenance on my bike throughout the season when I end up using it.
Yeah.
So having a nice contained electronic system like that would be nice to have. You don't have to worry about the pedals getting messed up as much and always picking grass out of the cogs.
Yeah.
So there's definitely, and obviously like the ease of access, right? Going uphill, going downhill. Mm-hmm. Sucks going uphill with bikes. You end up almost having to just want to jump off and walk the thing up a hill.
Yeah. I tell you what, man. I used to be like almost, you know, like, I don't know, make fun of them.
Right.
Like, yeah. E-bikes, right? Until, you know, I became friends with Adam Parr. And then he let me ride them.
Oh, man.
And they are awesome. They're so much, first of all, they're so much fun.
Oh, yeah. Instant smile. I was just like, woo!
Yep. And then the next thing is that I'm getting older. And like on my Nebraska hunt out in the sand hills, just cuts everything in half, right? And I honestly think that a deer would probably be more comfortable seeing me scoot by on that than just straight up walking.
Yeah.
You know? So I don't know.
Hey, one more quick thing I wanted to bring up. We were talking about something being outlawed. This guy from this Buck Fever Synthetic Sense.
Yeah.
Was saying that a lot of states are now outlawing natural, like buck lure or doe lure.
Yep.
And he said that that's a huge trend and that pretty much you're going to be stuck with nothing but synthetic scents.
Is that because of fear of CWD?
He did not say that, but I bet that's where it's probably going.
Yeah.
Some fear mongering.
Yeah. I don't know. We have a meeting. The three of us have we're going to be joining in or sitting in on a panel with QDMA and the National Deer Alliance tomorrow night. Tomorrow's Friday, right? Tomorrow night, I believe, Friday night. And we're going to get, I don't really know what it's 100% about. I talked a little bit with Lindsay Thomas of the QDMA today about what they're going to be, you know, what they're doing. They're just basically getting media and press educated on more about the science behind CWD and what that is. So when someone says, what about this? We can, you know, we can give them the right answer.
Right.
So I think that's very important. So they're coming to get you, Ryan.
I think so.
God, I sound like such a dad right there. Oh, they're coming to get you, dude.
Dad joke.
Yeah. Dad joke. Jesus. All right. We done?
I think we're done.
You done? All right. Well, stay tuned for the next one. Thanks to all my partners and stuff. Bye.